The Wellness Way presents Barbara O'Neill. Barbara is coming to talk in London June the 11th, 2024. Go to phillyjlay.com to secure your tickets now. We'll see you there.
It was really challenging for me. Actually, what I started to see was their frequencies changed and the way they behave changed. And then what would happen was some people would have had it but not have changed. So that's when I started to think, okay, there's different frequencies here. I actually wrote a piece of music. I got a download to write a piece of music to help people. And so what I started to say to people, my, look, there is an energetic exchange here and you need to understand why you are doing this. You know, this is where there's different levels of energy exchange in what you're about to subscribe to, basically. And I was compromised in many places. You know, I had to sit in really deep, uncomfortable situations where the people that I loved, I knew were under a spell and they were behaving in ways that I hadn't seen before. Now, if you put anybody in a trauma, you will see another part of their personality. So I was aware that I was sitting within a group of a tribe of people that are my family, and I was being faced with their personalities that are in trauma, fear, and they were all acting in a way of survival. It was really, really uncomfortable because they couldn't see how they were treating me. That was quite hard. You know, the rolling of the eyes. I had been preparing my people for my community, my students, those who would come to my classes. I'd been working with the earth and the energies of the earth to prepare for these times. To be honest, when it hit, you think you're prepared.
Yeah.
It was really, really uncomfortable.
Welcome to The Wellness Way with me, Philly J. Lay, a layperson's guide to your natural health systems, your very own NHS. I'd like to thank today's sponsors of The Wellness Way podcast, London Nootropics. London Nootropics adaptogenic coffee blends are designed to help you stay balanced and elevate your day. They give you all the benefits of regular coffee, but they minimise the side effects such as the jitters, anxiety and that well-known crash. Lovingly made with the highest quality medicinal mushroom extracts and other adaptogens, each blend is designed for a specific purpose. Flow for mental clarity and focus, Zen to alleviate stress and anxiety, and Mojo for that natural boost. You can read more about their blends and the adaptogens they contain on their website, londonnootropics.com. And if you'd like to learn more about their blends and their astonishing journey, why don't you go and check out our podcast episode together, where you can learn more about the boys from London Nootropics. And don't forget to use my exclusive discount, Philly20, for your 20% off. Cheers, London Nootropics. Enjoy the rest of the show. Hello, lovely people, and welcome to another episode of The Wellness Way. There's a saying that if you feel that you don't fit into this world, it's because you're here to create a new one. And my next guest is a woman that's been on a remarkable journey, the Earth Chakra Shaman. And she is here to create a new world, along with many other people, as we're all waking up in this world from, you know, the lies and the suppression that we have been told over the thousands of years. And today I'm going to introduce you to Louise Karen Harris. Hello, Louise. Welcome to the show. We've been talking for a long time on Instagram, and I love what you're about. And, you know, thank you for being here and for sharing your story today.
Thank you, Philly. I remember your face when I saw you posting a live from Oxford, and I was like, that's a woman that I want to hang out with. She is fierce and real and wild and speaking the truth.
Thank you. Yes, it's been a funny old journey, hasn't it? So you didn't ever really feel that you fitted into this world, did you? From a very, very young age.
Absolutely not. I mean, you know, completely unprogrammable. You know, you sit at school. I sat at school going, what are they all talking about and why they're making it so complicated?
Sorry to interrupt this podcast. The Wellness Way has got a brand new interactive ebook out. I've created a beginner's guide to your natural health systems to help you navigate through the jungle of natural health. A banquet of knowledge wrapped up in a simple ebook, featuring some of my top guests from the podcast. As an added bonus, I've even thrown in my meditation album, The Wellness Awakening, From Past Lives to Passing. Head over to my webpage, phillyjlay.com, to grab your copy now. And while you're there, why don't you sign up for my newsletter? And don't forget to like, subscribe, and share this podcast so we can continue to get this information out. Remember, the doctor of your future is you.
And I used to think I was thick, and I can see how many children are tarnished with that programming. They think they're stupid, but actually they're not. They're unprogrammable. And it was much later on that I realized, I was like, oh, you know, I actually, my mind was kept free.
Yeah.
And so all of the dyslexia or the learning difficulties that we put on, the labels, were actually my liberation, because then I was a free thinker and I could see and I could read people. I had a huge emotional intelligence and I could smell a lie from a mile off.
You know. And you told me earlier that your dad's a compulsive liar. Can
completely.
I say that?
Yeah. I mean,
Dad.
No. He's like a pathological, without a doubt. Everything he was said would be a lie. And from 4 years old, I knew that Father Christmas wasn't real.
Oh my God! Don't say that! Don't say that! Oh.
Rewind. But I.
You see, Father Christmas is real. He is the gift of giving.
Yes.
Without having gratitude shown to you.
Not the Coca-Cola Christmas. Absolutely.
We'll put a trigger warning on this for anybody with children. But you could read all of those lies that were coming in. And did you feel that in the educational system? Did you know that you were being lied to?
Yeah. I mean, just the lack of integrity with even teachers. You know, I could see that they weren't speaking truth, or that they weren't speaking that they're passionate about. When you meet a teacher that is really passionate and their truth, when someone's truth shines through them, you listen. You really listen. When you're just a regurgitation, you're here to learn and regurgitate it. There's no passion, there's no fire. It's just, you know, little gold stars for regurgitating something that doesn't really mean anything.
Yeah. And I mean, you talk there about being dyslexic, and I'm highly dyslexic too, and ADHD, but it wasn't invented in my day.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's a beautiful line from Ken. Oh my gosh, who's the brilliant TED Talk? Ken Robinson.
Ken Robinson.
Yeah, that is a great TED Talk. Have you ever listened to that?
Yeah, he's brilliant. Absolute genius.
You know, unfortunately he's passed now, but what a great TED Talk. You know, I mean, it's just, we are programmed and creativity is knocked out of us from such a young age. And you were just always very, very aware of that, weren't you? And you made a pact with God. Tell us about that pact with God.
I really knew, because I could feel so much. Now, you know, I think we're all sensitive. Sensitivity is used as a shutdown as for many people, you know, or they're sensitive and the role of the eyes. But, you know, I could feel the life of the tree. I could feel the other realms were around me. But living in a very normal world, you know, very normal life, I really begged God. I was like, look, I'll start believing in you properly if you can let me fly.
That was just your love of fairies, wasn't it?
But I knew it was real. I knew there was something else there. And of course, I never got to learn to fly in that way. I mean, shamanically journeying, I fly most nights now.
Yeah.
But I just knew, but it's hard sometimes for highly sensitive children to be in this world, because, you know, it's looking like on the three-dimensional that nothing's there. It's not real, but you can feel it. And, you know, we talk about people and teachers and anyone, you can feel their energy. You know what's going on. So if they're speaking something and it's not truth, it's quite frightening. It's quite frightening when someone is saying something, but you absolutely know.
And as a child, that must have been terrifying. And did you ever pull your dad up on this? Did you ever go, well, that's not true?
Yeah. But you don't.
You don't.
You learn not to. And that silencing, you know, I've battled with that all my life, because especially when it came into these later times, people pay me to call out their lies now. You know, that's great. They sit in a one-to-one session and they want to show me what I'm not seeing. Show me the shadows. Like, brilliant, you're lying to yourself. They want that. That's great for the healing. But most people walking on this planet do not want to face our own lies. They don't want to see that. And so if you're confronting that, then you become enemy number one. And then you have to decide how you're going to live in the world.
Doing shadow work is a very brave thing to do. You know, we have our shadow, you know, our light and our dark, our yin and our yang. And, you know, for me, the shadow is facing that part of you that you don't like.
Absolutely.
And it's really hard to face that, isn't it?
And it takes the most courageous people to face their shadow, but they become the ones that are holding the greatest lift, the gift, the light, and the lifting you out of these dark places. So, you know, it's triggering for those people who don't want to do their shadow work, who haven't got the courage or have been programmed very, very harshly not to admit they're wrong. So school programs you into pretending, you know, that you're right, that you know, and to admit that you don't know or that you can't see a behavior that you're playing out, that can be really confronting. So those who are willing to do the shadow work, you know, hats off to you, because you are weaving a new earth, because the lies that we tell ourselves keep us in very, very dark places.
The problem is when you're a child, if you accept your shadow, if you look at your shadow, and if you can read energies of people like, you know, teachers, then you're almost called a precocious child. You know, you're and precocious, actually, I had a great re-imprint on this, because the word came up for me once in a tapping session. And I always thought it meant outrageous, you know, too loud and too, but it actually means very advanced.
Absolutely.
But nobody likes a precocious and advanced child.
Because it's triggering for them.
Very triggering. Very, very triggering. So, you know, you're sitting there in the classroom, and if you're precocious, if you question the system, if you question anything about your teacher, then you are immediately slammed down. They don't want to know. You know, you are a troublesome child. And, you know, I've talked many times on this show about, you know, ADHD and the amount of children that are just put onto medications now because we try and suppress anything that's creative and knowledgeable and unique.
And intuitive.
And intuitive.
Absolutely. And then what happens is we then birth adults that are then very compliant and afraid of speaking up because now, you know, mum and dad is now the government or the police, and yeah, they're afraid. And it's very confronting if you start, it's going to tear your world apart. It's going to, once you start looking at those parts of yourself, your world changes. But there's two options. You either stay in your old world and know that you're lying to yourself, or you rise up through it because it's a much, much freer, beautiful place.
You know, this happened for me in 2020, and I just became a woman on a mission. I just stood up and went, not on my fucking watch, you don't. It was just like, I'm not having this, because I could just see the lies. And I, you know, as you said then, you know, it's your teacher then becomes the government, you know, your doctor, somebody else in authority.
Yeah.
And then, you know, once you've clocked, once you've done some shadow work, and then you start seeing those authoritarian figures, you know, as the dark forces, and you have to do the shadow work on them. It's hard. I'm not going to lie. You know, I was so outside of my comfort zone. I'd never, you know, filmed anything on a, you know, done a social media post or anything. I just, you know, I shunned all of that. Now, I thought I would never do it. But you get to a point where you have to stand in your own truth. And it's quite frightening, because you lose a lot of the people that you love along the way. And I know that, you know, this happened to you a little bit over 2020.
Oh, yeah.
Do you want to talk about it?
You know, when I take a very shamanic role within my community, within my friends who aren't very spiritual, but, you know, when you had 25 years together, you're a tribe. And so it doesn't matter what they think of you, you just love each other. But within my community, I'm very shamanic. You know, there's births, deaths, marriages, very much there as the go-to person the person who has the wisdom, the oracle. I can, you know, that's who I am, internal community, external community. And what was quite shocking was what we call, Paul Levy calls it Wakito. I was told by my inner guides that the name was Wahara. Wahara is the spell, the dark energy. It is actually the shadow. It's the shadow that will blind people. And Wakito energy is basically like an everlasting hunger. It will always want more. It will always hunger for more power, more knowledge, more, you know, it will take humans off their own natural path. And so when 2020 came, what I watched was this heavy energy, what we call it, say, let's call it the spell, be cast amongst the people that I love the most. And my defiance was, this is not going to break me. And I was compromised in many places. You know, I had to sit in really deep, uncomfortable situations where the people that I loved, I knew were under a spell, and they were behaving in ways that I hadn't seen before. Now, if you put anybody in a trauma, you will see another part of their personality. So I was aware that I was sitting within a group of a tribe of people that are my family, and I was being faced with their personalities that are in trauma, fear, and they were all acting in a way of survival. And then I had to look back and see how I was also that face. Where is my shadow? Where am I acting in survival? Where am I not being in my truth? It was really, really uncomfortable because they couldn't see how they were treating me. That was quite hard. You know, the rolling of the eyes, the when we have our own triggers. So my inner trigger was, you know, I'm dyslexic, so I couldn't learn. I can tell you that there's something wrong going on, but I couldn't give you the analytical reasons about what is about to happen here on the global breakdown.
Because you knew something was coming, didn't you?
Yeah, I mean, I had been preparing my people, for my community, my students, those who would come to my classes, for a breakdown, and didn't know what it was going to look like. I'd been working with the earth and the energies of the earth to prepare for these times. So I knew it. But to be honest, when it hit, you think you're prepared.
Yeah.
And so that's where the shadow has to, you, doing your own shadow work has to be, it's imperative, because you have to be able to see, or have people around you to call you out, you know, people who love you enough to go, you know, you were a little bit responsive and reactive in these sort of, in ways that maybe I couldn't have seen myself. So I really, I struggled. In all honesty, I wanted to speak out. I had known, you know, I can tell I've been raised. I felt like God gave me my father to show me that how people lie. You know, I could see the collective lie. I could see the collective spell happening, but I didn't have necessarily the articulation to explain to people what was happening. And what was really happening around that these times was, it was really feeding on those who were highly educated. So if you're highly educated, you love statistics, you love to know things. You know, there's a very inflated ego that comes when you can deliver statistics.
Yeah, but this is something that I just didn't understand, Louise, because the statistics were crap. You know, 99.98% of people recovered from it. The average age of death was older than the average age of, you know, a normal person in the UK. So, you know, this incredible fear. And you'd say the statistics to people and they'd still just quote the death numbers off the 5 o'clock briefing.
But, you know, the way I was seeing it was... Now, I want to be mindful how I say this, because, okay, when you've lived a life that is very monotonous, you know, you're just in the rat race. You're in the rat race. You know, you have a job and you do the do and the kids go to school or whatever. There becomes a sense of the catastrophizing of the whole thing brings a sense of energy that people hadn't had in their lives. You know, they could serve, they could give information, they could collude with each other. There was an energy, you know, life had been pretty dull and boring for people for a while, and it gave them something to you know,
unify.
Yeah, mind. And the energy. So when you look at something like the drama triangle, have you ever looked at the drama triangle?
I haven't, tell me.
So in psychology, there's a beautiful diagram, very, very simple, and it's called the drama triangle. So you will have three roles. You have a rescuer, you have a victim, and you have a perpetrator. So we all play these different archetypes, some more strongly than others. Now, what happens in the drama triangle is it maybe only take two people. So you might be a rescuer. If you're a rescuer, you need a victim to feel inflated yep. about. You know, I want to rescue people and that makes me feel good. And so then you might want victims who are like suffering, and the victim's a very strong position, because when you're in the victim, you get to choose who your rescuer is and who your perpetrator is. So you need a perpetrator, someone who's going to play that perpetrator role. So you're dart along this triangle a bit like a game, but what's happening is you're just getting adrenaline from it. We are everything we look at in the programmed world is about drama, because it produces adrenaline and we get excited and we're addicted to it.
Yep.
So when the lockdowns and the spell happened, everyone sort of took a really good strong role in the drama triangle. You know, they were either rescuers, I'm going to become a vaccinator, I'm going to take my vaccine to do the good thing. So you're getting an inflated ego, and then you need a perpetrator. So the perpetrators are obviously those who are challenging. And so, you know, if rescuers need someone to fight against. And so there was a lot of adrenaline, a lot of addiction happening here. So I was observing this and I was like, you are just getting some secondary gain from this drama.
Yeah.
You don't know this because you haven't done your shadow work. I know it because I know the times when I've done that myself. You know, we have to be able to be humble and have some humility in this awareness. So I just watched how that happened. And, you know, people who had never maybe felt like they'd served before could finally be like, look at me, I've served. I've taken a vaccine.
Or, you know, I've served. I've stood outside my house and clapped and banged some pots and pans together.
I struggled with that spell. Actually, you know, that when that first came about, I absolutely was horrified energetically, because I'm an energetic sensitive. I could feel how that was going to be incredibly persuasive and create a collusion. And that's exactly when, you know, when I was, when family members were quite shocked that I refused to do it. And they had that sense of justice. I'm a rescuer. You should do it, you know. But when we're in that adrenaline all the time, we want more of it. So then it's more statistics, and then we can be, you know, I used to say like scattergunning statistics. Let me load myself up with the statistics and shoot you down. And, you know, it was a war, and nothing really had to make sense, because everyone was just basically trying to be in their roles. So it didn't matter what they said. Everyone was just being in their roles. Mm. And for me, I knew that I was called to speak, but... And I did for a long time, but actually energetically there was a lot of spell casting going on, a lot of darkness. And I then had to start choosing my family, and I decided that I was going to be more defiant by not letting it split up my friends and my family. And I will say, you know, there is still a lot of scars. Mm. But knowing and honouring the way we are as humans has really helped me keep that bond, because I didn't want to be part of the divide and conquer. So I had to sit in some really deeply uncomfortable situations, and still now.
Yeah, I mean, I found it really hard to do that, as you know. I just all of a sudden... Yeah, went not on my watch and started screaming from the rooftops. I bought my Fuck the New Normal t-shirt. I got on the streets and I was just like, yeah. I was just, for me, so shocked that people fell for the masquerade of it. You know, I, like you, had known that something was coming. I was prepping for it, but I thought we had about another 5 years.
So... because I work shamanically and with people, and I've been awake for a long time in the sense of probably all my life, really.
Yeah.
You know, I've sensed, and I was standing up and speaking without a doubt. You know, I would post every week, if you tolerate this, your children will be next. And it was really, you know, everyone had to take their positions, and, you know, what you did was amazing. The fierceness and the not standing for it. And you did lose people along the way, right?
I did, yes.
But you are exactly where you needed to be. And I certainly lost family members along the way. But my friendship circle still stands.
Do you know, that's beautiful, because mine kind of crumbled, with a couple of exceptions. But something very strange happened for me. When I was 11, I went off to ballet school to train as a classical dancer. And it was a very small school, and I was on a full grant. And there were six of us in the year when I started, and 13 of us in the year when I finished. And 2020 happened, and over half of the women who were children with me in those ballet lessons all woke up, and we hadn't really spoken for 40 years. And all of a sudden I'm getting texts from all these people I was at school with going, you do know this is a lie. And I'm going, yep, I do. And they were going, everybody was sending each other clips from social media going, this is banned, quickly spread this around. And it was just like, oh my God, I've come back to my childhood friends, you know, my roots.
Wow.
Which, you know, everybody else, bar one, two, maybe three, went. And then my childhood friends were all wide awake, and it's like, oh my God, why did the universe put us all together in that one place when we were kids? To do this, you know, to keep each other strong?
I get a lot of downlines, downlines and information that comes from the earth, from the mountains. And I got this download about mid 2019, and it said, the timelines are going to split and people are going to suffer and you won't be able to help them. And I was like, I never used the word timelines. It wasn't in my vocabulary. Mm. So I actually didn't know what timeline was. It's not in my world. And I was trying to, I was trying to understand what it meant. And then COVID happened and I thought, this is where the timeline split. And then I started hearing different people talk about timeline splitting. I was like, okay, it's a collective thing. This is what's happening. And I got another message going, it ain't happened yet. I was like, right, okay, so when's it happening? And I thought, you know, I was bobbing along, having a lovely time in lockdown because I'd just gone with my life. And I could see people suffering. And I thought, oh, okay, this is what's happening. And I actually genuinely thought my friends were, my tribe was moving to a different timeline. You know, I'm surrounded by hundreds of people who I've taught, who are my students, who are part of my communities. Most of them were awake. I was a bit shocked of who wasn't. Mm-hmm. But I was like, okay, so there's people are suffering, timelines are splitting, this is it. Still wasn't happening. And the message was like, no, it still hasn't happened. I was like, how can this not be it? And then I started to see it was more around 21, 22. That's when it really started, the energetic split. And what I would say is the consciousness. It's when we talk about New Earth, or especially when I talk about New Earth, what I was starting to see was flickers of the levels of consciousness. And I was like, oh, this is what New Earth is. It's not that we're all setting sail to a new planet. I would literally watch people's energies flicker. And I would see a different level of consciousness. So I was, you know, I know you can't take everyone with you. And that's what the message was for me. People are going to suffer and you won't be able to help them. That's very hard for someone who's spent her whole life, you know, serving people and helping them raise their consciousness. It sounds to me like when your friend, you know, you found each other because of the consciousness of the same frequency.
Yeah.
And
but that was what was so weird for me. Yeah. That we were these little girls that had gone away and we were all on the same frequency.
Probably already put together way before you came to this planet.
Way before we came to this planet.
Yeah, it was already planned.
Yeah. No, amazing. I know. And they kept me sane, you know. It was really, really beautiful. And, you know, just the messages that I would get, you know, I was the most vocal of everybody. And so they were private messages going, go, girl, go, come on, come on. You know, get out there, wake people up. And it was just so liberating and so lovely, you know, when my family were calling me a granny killer and, you know, that I just had this tribe of people that I'd met as a child who encouraged me to do what I was doing. It was a really beautiful moment of my life, for which I'm really grateful. But we digress slightly. I want to come back to the fact that you knew that something was going to happen, and you know, the voices kept telling you, spirits, guides kept telling you that it wasn't yet. And then 2021 came and we saw the vaccinations come in.
Yeah.
I don't like using that word, obviously, because they were not vaccinations. Did you find that there was
the spells.
Did you find, could you read the energies of people around you? Could you see a difference in their energies?
Yeah. It was really challenging for me. Actually, what I started to see was their frequencies changed and the way they behave changed. And then what would happen was some people would have had it but not have changed. So that's when I started to think, okay, there's different frequencies here. I actually wrote a piece of music. I got a download to write a piece of music to help people. And so what I started to say to people, my, look, there is an energetic exchange here and you need to understand why you are doing this. You know, this is where there's different levels of energy exchange in what you're about to subscribe to, basically. So many people were like, I don't really want it. They were coming to me privately. I don't really want it. I don't know what to do. And I would say, look, if you don't want to do it and you're doing it, that's the worst place you can be.
Yeah.
So don't end it, because you're going to, that energetically will ruin you. So you're going to have to really stand strong, lie, do whatever you need to do. Like just do, but don't do that. And then there was other people who are so absolutely in their like rescuer, you know, yeah, their ego. And there was no way I was going to be able to do anything about that. And then I would watch the level of depression. So I was starting to get dreams way before the vaccine, actually. I don't know how much I should share about that, but it basically, I was getting dreams of, so this was probably about 3 years before, that I was in a pool and everyone around me was like all of a sudden just chatting away, and then they dropped. And then I realized there was something sinister happening and I had to then stay underwater to try and look like I looked like everyone else. And I knew that they were being controlled. So I'd already, and I was, okay, that's what's happening. And, you know, but some people were stronger than others. So some people were fine. I just found the level of depression, I would say, like a heaviness.
I mean, I don't know many people that have felt well after it. You know, I talk to a lot of people, obviously, in my job, and a lot of them say, you know, that they were fine before, or they felt fine, and ever since they're inundated with colds or flus or, you know, aches or heart attacks or strokes or cancer. I mean, we're looking at a massive field, you know, because everything is energy. If cancer is energy, you know, heart attack is energy, it's all energy. And, you know, there are a lot of people that their energy has been harmed.
Their whole energetic field has crumbled. So they're depressed. So they're heavy. It's like, so shamanically, we would say when we're clearing people's energy fields, you know, there's a heavy layer of dense energy that's often on their field. And for me, this, when I would see people, it had almost collapsed people, but their joy had gone.
Yeah.
Joy. There was a lack of joy.
Yeah.
A monotonous, is that the right word? I think like, just like, yeah, like very like one layer. One level, like the...
Yeah, on a very, very flat plane.
Very flat plane. There wasn't much, you know, waves of love or... It was tricky watching people's energies. I have been clearing people's energies and I know that it can, You know, it is energetic. It's energetic.
And then it can be cleared. And there must be people, I mean, some of you guys must be thinking, this is a load of old bollocks, you know, reading energies and everything. But the gift that you have, I want you to tell the story about the London bus bombing. Because this, you know, I mean, when you told me this, I kind of went, you know, oh, wow. You have this incredible ability to read energies and know what's going on. So can you tell us that story?
You know, this is probably a story that's in my first book. And I tell it because I suppose for me, living in an energetic world, it's very normal. So I'm always quite surprised when people are like, oh, wow, because they don't live like that. And I live like that all the time. My whole life is a synergy and a flow and a knowing. And that's where when you are trading in your energies, you lose your knowing, you lose your intuition. You know, when you're programmed through school, you're losing that innate nature that we are. So I'm married to a very sort of pragmatic, logical man, and we've been soulmates forever, like the minute we saw each other.
You were very young. He was 17. Very young. You were 19.
To the point where he would come into the pub and the same song would play every time he walked into the pub. And my boss would be like, you are a witch. And I'm like, I'm in love with this man. I'm going to marry him. And, you know, so those sort of synergies have always happened in my life. We were working in London together. I worked up in East London and he worked in Holborn. And we'd get the training together. And I'm a real gusher of love. You know, I was really, I love love. Like, I love life. I love, we're very romantic and we'd kiss on the tube before we separate from, you know, and email each other when we got in. We were very together. So when we got kicked off the tube, when the bombings happened, no one knew what happened. All that they said was, there's been a power surge at one of the stations, and you just got to get off the tube and get a bus. That was very logical to my husband.
Plausible, yep.
Absolutely. And to everyone else around. I was like, alarm bells. We cannot get on a bus. So my entire senses are like, we can't get on a bus. We can't get on a bus. No. And my husband's like, you're being completely mad. What's wrong with you, woman? And, you know, basically, we got through Baker Street and I'm now having a complete hissy fit going, we need to look at the news. I never look at the news. Like, I never have.
So always best not to.
We're really talking. Yeah, I'm talking some big stuff when I'm saying we need to go to a cafe. We need to watch the news. And he's like, you're being completely mad. Now, you know, Baker Street was absolutely full with people. It was heaving with people and everyone was looking normal. And I'm like, something bad has happened. I know it. But no one else is feeling it. So, you know, that is a deep awareness. Like, why can no one feel what I feel? At this point then, my husband's like, well, I'm getting on the bus. You can go home, but I'm going to work, because he's very loyal to his job. Well, he was then. And I didn't want to separate from him because I thought he's going to die. He's going to die. So we find a bus and we get on the bus to his work. And I said, can I come to your office with you? He's like, yeah, whatever. Like, just, he's annoyed at me now. He's really cross. We get on the bus and the bus is rammed and he's like, there's one seat at the back. Do you want to take it? I'm like, no way. Like, and the next minute I just see somebody who almost looks the same energy as me. And he looks gray as well. He looks worried, but no one else is looking worried still. Everyone's getting on with the day. And something, God, kicks me hard. Get off. And I literally jumped off the back. It was a Routemaster. I jumped off the back of the moving bus, fell to the ground. My husband comes flying off the bus after me, like mad at me. And then we walk to his work and he's mad. And I'm mad with him for not understanding. Why don't you believe me? You know, there's this whole, why don't you believe me? And he's just like, what is wrong with you, crazy woman? And we get to his office and he's like, I'm going in, see you later. And we've never parted like that. Like, we always parted by snogging each other passionately. And I was just so angry with him. Why won't you believe me? Something's happened. And he was just like, well, I'm at work now. I start walking off towards Liverpool Street. And then I see all the buses coming past me with no service. And then it's like the whole world paused for a moment. Like, everything went still. And I, again, that inner nudge, run. And I turned back and I started running back towards my husband's office. And he was running through the crowd. He grabbed my hand and said, I'm so sorry. There's been a bomb. And
it was the bus that you were on.
Yeah.
That was the Holborn.
It was, yeah.
Bus that was blown up.
And outside of his office. So it had blown up just before. Just went up when I don't know.
And you would have been on there because
we would have been on the bus. Yeah. And my whole life has been, listen to me, I know. And this has happened. That's just one tiny drop in the ocean of all the inner knowing.
It's quite a big drop in the ocean because you would have been dead.
Yeah.
Had you stayed on it because it was blown up outside his office, you would have been getting off it or maybe not even quite off it yet. So.
But I always listen. I remember as a time with a very good friend of ours was insisting we all go in the waters, and I was like, there's a dead body here and I need to get out, and they were like, no, you're mad. And I was like, there is, I know. And I knew someone had gone missing, and what often happens with very logical people, they want to give you all the explanations of why there wouldn't be and how the seas go this way and da da da. And I was like, no, it's here. And I got out, and they all got really cross with me. And then they found out about 3 hours later that the body was there. And I was like, I told you, why doesn't anyone listen to me? And so my whole life, my whole two books is about fate. You know, I have this knowing and I'm not special. We all have this knowing.
This is what I was going to say. I'm not putting you down in any shape or form.
Because, we all know it.
But we all have this ability and we don't tune into it. We don't. You know, it's kicked out of us from birth because, you know, it's not popular. And your first book, and I've got it here, and it's called Awakening of the Western Woman. Because, you know, I think, you know, Eastern women, you know, the older cultures, you know, all the native tribes out there, they know about this sense. They know they have a sixth sense. And it's not a sixth sense to them. It's their sense. They know it. They read it.
Absolutely.
And Westerners don't. So this is a fascinating book because it is the awakening of Western women. And it's the Western women that we've got to wake up at the moment. And you're doing that. You're working with groups of Western women and you are taking them on journeys to try and find, you know, to look at their shadows and then to try and open them up. And take them on journeys. And, you know, you have this, I remember a conversation we had a year ago about how you were called to Mount Sinai.
Yeah.
And you have this calling to not just go all over the world, but to take people all over the world.
Yeah.
And to try and release those traumas, and I think that is actually the best way of putting it, the traumas that keep people locked into the world that we live in.
You know, when we began the conversation, we talked about shadow work, and it's the shadow, the Wikito, the Wahara, the spells that keep us away from that inner knowing, that inner sense. My job is just to wake that up in people. And the world, the earth has an entire grid network, a whole energetic anatomy, just like we do. And the mountains are speaking, the rivers are speaking, the trees are speaking. But if you can't hear it, it's because you are shut down, you are still programmed. And you have to do the shadow work to do that work. So the first book is, you know, I'm still human. I've still had to go through the party stages. You know, I just wanted to party. I just wanted to earn loads of money. I just, you know, the universe was like, yeah, no.
Yeah, no.
you've got other work, you know. But the book is really to show people, like, divine union is possible. You have to really face your addictions, anything you are addicted to. If you are watching porn, if you're watching TV, if you're hooked on anything, information, if you are hooked, you are distracted, and it takes a lot to be able to face that within yourself and unravel that. So, you know, that's what's keeping everyone away from listening. And once you can start to unravel that, and then you can start sitting in the stillness, and you can start listening. Now, when we start listening, then we realize we're not separate from the earth, that actually we're part of this evolution. And the earth actually calls us. You know, for me today, I would I feel like you will remember. It's like you're remembering. What I'm saying to you isn't going to be, oh, you know, this is new. It's a remembering, like, yes, actually there's places in nature that I am called to, or there is this place I've always wanted to go to ever since I was born. And, or, you know, as a, there's familiar, there's sacred sites that are calling. And I suggest that everybody responds to that call, because in a way of reverence, in right relationship, you will heal, but also in your pilgrimages, in your own inner work, your inner journey, whether you're working with a healer or a coach, or you're basically breaking apart and rebuilding yourself again. In that, you become a new code, you become a new energy. And so when you walk on pilgrimage to the lands, or you take those new codes with you, and you share that. That's what we call a right relationship. We're sharing with the earth our learning, our growth. And when we are on these sacred sites, if you are in that level of consciousness, you will receive. Now, if you were just any old person who didn't give a damn and just wanted to go and climb a sacred mountain because for the sake of it, you will have a very different experience to when you are going on pilgrimage, on a sacred walkabout, on, if you're earth walking, if you are going to a sacred site with a group, with a shaman, then you will receive something. You will receive the codes.
It's interesting, actually, because I interviewed Galahad Clark on the podcast from Vivo Barefoot, and they've joined forces with the Pilgrimage Society to you know, do these pilgrimages around the UK. And we have so many sacred sites. And I think many years ago, when people talked about a pilgrimage, I thought it was just a nice walk to a pretty place that had some meaning. And that's not what it is at all, is it?
No. I've just come back from 5 days in the Lake District with my people. You know, my people that I by hella high water, we were going to stay together. And, you know, they go to the Lake District. We do it all the time. They experience the waters very differently to me, and I know that, and that's fine. But the mountains are calling. And then we had a big call, and my husband gets called now. He feels it too. And we had to go to sacred Iona up in Scottish Highlands. You know, it's never easy. The call is real. You have to go. This is of service. You must go. It's a ball ache. You know, sometimes you don't want to go. That's often when you really got to go.
Yeah, and boring with rain. You're just going,
yeah, okay, really, really, I've got to really go. But, you know, I had to go. I had to take a sacred medicine stone. I work with stones. I work with sticks. I work with holy waters. And go to this island and take the stone to the top of the island. And, you know, what always happens is something magical. Like, the, you know, it was raining and the sun comes out. There's a rainbow. You know, the beautiful signs that go of Mother Earth saying, thank you. Thank you for responding to my call. And we're changed. And we're in this time period now where, you know, you asked me earlier, like, you knew something was going to happen. And I've known since I was six that I was going to see the end of the world. I've known, you know, I knew.
That's quite shocking. I mean, yeah. There'll be people that are, you know, listening or watching this podcast, and they're going, well, I'm not seeing the end of the world. And
no, you're seeing the birth of a new earth.
Ah, so that's the whole point, yeah, that we are seeing the birth of the new earth. And this is where the timelines are splitting.
And it's where the old ways are crumbling. And the way we bring in the new earth is when we call, maybe you heard of like the age of Aquarius, you know, it takes, you don't just jump into a new age. You don't just like open the door and da-da, here it is. It takes a time period, a threshold. And, you know, the eons, the ages are a couple of thousand years. So we're coming out of the age of Pisces. The old ways are crumbling. This is the end of the world. You know, the old structures, the old religions, everything. You know, science is a religion to the minds of man. Yeah. You know, that is crumbling too. Everything is crumbling. So that's when we see the end. But within that is happening is the earth is holding the new codes of a new earth. And so when there is a time period of about 100 years, and this is where we start talking about the earth chakras. So what happens is there is four turnings. You actually even see this four turning within finance. I have a very good friend who's a very famous Bitcoin podcaster, and we speak about the same thing, but in different ways. And he says it's the fourth turning, and we are this, where what's happening is there is the ending. The earth is holding these new codes of how she wants to evolve and how we are to evolve. Now, that's why we have to work with the earth. So there are seven main chakras on the earth. And I was called sacredly in all those weird ways, and it's all in the book, to come. You know, money was sent to me out of thin air to make sure that I made these pilgrimages, to activate these grid points. Now, I used to think I was the only person doing this, and there's not. There's so many of us. There's thousands and millions of us doing this work, either in big ways or little ways. But you will find it. You'll be like, yeah, I'm just cool. I just feel like I need to go to Glastonbury, or I just need to go to Snowdon or Ben Nevis or Iona or Anglesey in England, or you know, anywhere. All the sacred sites are connected, you see. So the ley lines speak to each other. And the energy that, you know, when we go and we activate that, the energies move smoothly through the earth in the same way as if we're, you know, our chakras have been cleared and our energy line, you know, our bodies become stronger. So when we go to these sacred sites, wherever you're called, you are getting an upgrade to be for the part of the new human. But also, you can't upgrade if the earth doesn't upgrade. Like, no. Neither's going to survive without each other. So we're part of it. So I take people on sacred pilgrimages. You have to do the shadow work. It's sometimes a bit choppy. You will be triggered, but you will come out lighter. And, you know, sometimes it's really joyful. It's all about being joyful as well. You know, we're here to sing and dance on the earth. It's the earth loves it when we dance. She loves it when we have sacred fires. She wants us to be that way.
And to sing.
Sing.
And that vibration, you know, that we're connecting with. You know, Zach Bush talks about, you know, have you ever stood under a tree and hugged a tree in a thunderstorm? Mm-hmm. And if you put your ear to it, you can hear the tree singing. And people find that extraordinary. But when you think that we now know, it's now mainstream science, that we know that under the ground, this web, you know, this wood-wide web of mycelia that's connecting everything together. But they all have the same ability to sing and to live and to shout that we do. And I remember once saying to my sister how I love the smell of cut grass, you know, that first, you know, cut of the season, normally around Easter, and that smell of grass. And she went, oh, that's a bit freaky. And I went, why? And she said, well, it's the grass crying because it's just been really badly hurt. I'm going, oh, fuck's sake, really? Really? And I'm just, I didn't know that. And now, once you know it, I feel terrible cutting my grass, you know, absolutely terrible. And, you know, I cut the bare minimal that I need to cut now. But, you know, and I would never cut the clover or, you know, when I have big wild sections. But, you know, it's all the energy. It's all the soil and the plants and everything talking to each other. And so you go to these wonderful sacred sites and you connect people to the earth, which is how you got the name of your second book, which I've got here, The Earth Chakra Shaman. I think that is so, so lovely. I just, you know, the fact that you connect people to, you know, they're sacred sites, that, you know, that calling, that pilgrimage that you go and, you know, doing the work. Talk us through the main, you know, Hawaii. We saw the terrible devastation in 2023 with the DEW and, you know, what they try to class as forest fires. But that's a sacred site.
So the whole... So imagine we have an entire grid within our own body. Everything's connected, okay? So the earth has seven main chakras, and then it has 156 gates. So each main chakra will be connected to three other sites. And I mean, this is getting quite technical, but then there's four major energy spinners within the grid as well. So Hawaii is like the fire spinner. And so if I go back at 2020, I had another call to Uluru. There was a major planetary conjunction activation happening. I didn't realize. I mean, I literally got called and I didn't really know what was happening. And it was that's sort of sometimes the beauty, like the naivety, and be like, oh my God, I didn't know. And that's when you really know. So I was going there and I was flying out in the forest fires. Now, there was a major planetary activation, the biggest one that was going to happen before lockdown. And there was all the forest fires. My husband, he was like, well, how can you be going? Like, Australia's burning. I was like, I have to go. I have to go and do this work. So I went to Uluru and worked on the grid there. And that was the last activation I'd done before the lockdowns happened. There's a book by Robert Coon, and he wrote this book. It's called Earth Chakras. And he wrote this book in 1967. Now, he has, in a more mathematical and astrological way, describes exactly the planetary activations of these 100 years of the birthing of the new Earth. So I said that it comes in four stages, okay? So we're halfway through at the moment. It'll be finished by about 2060. So the Earth is upgrading, we're all upgrading, but and he writes in his book that 2020 is just a cosmic joke. In 1967. And wow. In his book, he even tells you where you need to go, when you need to go. So if I didn't used to listen to that because I used to just go with my own intuition. But if you want to know some information, look at that book. It's all there.
We'll put that book in the show notes. Yeah. So can you just say the title?
So his name is Robert Coon, and the book is Earth Chakras. He's written many books. He's the first mystic of this work. And I know this work works because I was doing his work without even realizing it. I read his book much later on. I've already been called to the places he talks about. You know, I know this work is real. And he said, and he even wrote, there's going to be no travel between, that's it. There is no places to go. I'd been there for the last major conjunction. But of course, there was so much destruction happening on the lands that was a bit obvious to me. Now what I'm starting to see in my own, that's an interesting coincidence that the main meetups of governmental meetups are often on near the earth chakras and the sacred sites, or there's destruction. So Hawaii is the earth spinner. It's connected to, it's got an interconnective with Mount Denali, and there's about other six other sites are all connected there. So you know, when these places are under attack, we have to think what's happening to the grid. So my call is to you, is anyone who's listening, is like, if you get a call to go somewhere, go with all your heart and your loving, joyous Thanksgiving, and go bring that new dream. Don't dream the dystopian the dystopian dreams that are programmed. You know, the destruction that's happening deliberately. You know, there's two timelines playing out here. If you can, you know, don't underestimate it. It's not that everyone's special. Everyone's got their unique coding. They've got their unique journeys. You know, everyone's been on they've experienced humanity in a different way and their own human journey in a different way. So they've got this unique coding. And it's like, if you've navigated something and overcome something, share it with us.
Share it. And can you just show us your little bag of tricks there, my lovely? Your scarf. So for anybody listening for this, you can see the episode now on Spotify. We're now doing the videos on Spotify, which is very exciting. So show us your bag of tricks.
So I carry stones. They're medicine stones. So I worked through a medicine wheel, through my shamanic training. And it's a caro from Peru. It's the way they carry their mesa, their medicine, and it's how I was taught. And when I was beginning this really big journey, the shaman in Peru sort of took me aside, and I only had one mesa at the time, which has my medicine stones in, which is your gifts, your growth, your learning, and that's how you help people with your own medicine. And he pulled me aside and he's like, new mesa, new beginnings. And that's when I realized I needed another mesa. And when I work, basically I'm moving energy around the planet. So I take a stone, I ask, if I'm on a mountain, I ask my Magaya, or they'll often show me, take this stone. And because of the pilgrimage, it's taken me to get to that place. Yep. You know, it's painful sometimes. There's a stone and I put it in my mesa and I hold it until it might be there for 2 or 3 years. It might be longer, until all of a sudden I'm called to another place and I have to then share that's now become my favorite stone to another place. And that is exchanging the energies around the planet. So there's 7 chakras on the earth. There is Mount Shasta in California, get my words out, in California. That is the base chakra of the earth. That when you listen to Mount Shasta, that's where you hear like the divine will of Gaia. This is her will, you know, not the external will, the will that we are all part of, you know, this growth, this evolution, this new human. And then the sacral chakra is Lake Titicaca in Peru, and all the sacred sites. A lot of people get called to Peru now to work with the medicines of Peru. Peru is really, really activating us. And there is there's 2 main energy lines that run through the earth. They're the dragon lines, the rainbow serpent and the plume serpent, and they meet in Lake Titicaca. And this is the place of the children of the sun. This is, you know, we do some very deep remembering that we are solar beings. We need the sun.
Yes.
We are here for the sun, you know, you step outside. And it's also the place of the divine union, where the creativity comes, where we can listen to that creative will of the earth. And then there is the solar plexus, which is Uluru, which we were talking about earlier, in Australia. And that's still the birthplace of the rainbow serpent. And that is really about our health and vitality as a planet, as a human. So it's really important to be respectful of these lands, because they are holding Gaia's will of this new evolution. So our health, our wealth, our happiness, our joy, our laughter, our music, our dancing, you know, that's our solar. Remember that solar sun,
yeah.
plexus. We are children of the sun. And then the heart chakra is Glastonbury. And it's also, I'll come back further, but have you been to Glastonbury? Have you had the call there?
I've been to Glastonbury, but just kind of for the day.
Yeah.
It's somewhere that I would like to go back to and spend time.
When the call comes.
And yeah.
And you'll find that you'll be called, and all of a sudden you'll be like, I need to go, and it'll be a full moon, or it'll be an eclipse, or something will happen. You'll be like, oh, I'm here.
I'm here.
And you'll work with the waters. So we're here at Glastonbury. And
I do have some lovely Glastonbury water upstairs.
It's already working.
It's been blessed on many ceremonial occasions as well. So, and when I'm feeling a little bit down, I just put a tiny drop into my water, bless it, thank it, and let it just spread. And replenish my energy.
So, and it's working with you.
Incredibly blessed to have that in my home.
The waters in Glastonbury is really important because of the red and the white springs. It's also where the birthplace of the New Jerusalem, which I'll come back to. So we are really blessed. And if you're listening in England, you can't go just for ego. Like, yeah, I've been to Glastonbury and I've got it on my Instagram tick. That's ego. Don't go with your ego. There's a lot of ego in Glastonbury. We don't need any more. Go with your soul, go with service, go with what you're offering. But, you know, this is where you can serve and listen. And then we've got the throat chakra, which is also the air spinner. And that is the pyramids of Mount Sinai and also the Mount Olives in Israel. So there's obviously a lot of activity going on the throat chakra of the earth right now.
Yes.
Where you will listen to the divine truth of Gaia. Where you learn to speak your truth and hear the truth, we listen. And so we have to be really mindful what's happening there. When I was in Sinai, so I take groups to Egypt, and we don't do all the temples. We do earth walking. You know, we go from the desert all the way across through the pyramids and then over to Mount Sinai. And we were there for an eclipse, and I climbed the mountain. I had got COVID at the time. I hadn't realized. But it was fine. The mountain carried me and the sun was setting, and I was like, oh my gosh, you know, we've got to get up there. And I sat next to one guy who my group was there, and I sat next to this guy, an Israeli guy. And I just looked at him and I said, have you been here before? And the sun setting, it was just stunning. And he looked at me and just said, we were going to come before the spell. And that's when we learn that we don't always have to say too much.
Yeah.
That we're just listening. That sometimes in the silence and the pauses,
yeah,
that's where ultimate shifts happen.
Yeah.
And Israel at the time, I'd already observed what was happening on Israel. I'd already observed what was happening to their over-medicalization. And I really felt him. And I honored actually my own freedom. And we slept on Sinai that night and woke to the morning sun. And it was incredibly beautiful. And I think that's when, because I'd been a little bit silenced for a while through the COVID journey, I felt like I needed to just come within and look after my family for about a year. And I was very vocal before that.
And it's absolutely fine to do that. And I will say to the audience, you know, I mean, I've been very vocal, but that isn't just the only way to do it. Everybody has to find their own path to sorting out this, don't they?
Well, you know, take it from that Israeli guy. He said three words before the spell. Mm. I mean, it was enough. It was enough. And, you know, just sharing that throat chakra, earth energy, you know, we are here to listen to the will of Gaia as well. Listen to the truth. Listen to our own truth. So then we have something called the third eye chakra. And now the third eye chakra is the only moving chakra on the planetary grid. And it moves every at the beginning and the end of each eon. So it began actually in Jerusalem. That was where the age of Pisces began. So that was where the fish, you know, that's where this Piscean age of which the shadow side was martyrdom, dying for a cause. And but yet we learned a lot of compassion through the age of Pisces. But that's been crumbling. And the legends say is that Joseph of Arimathea, Jesus's uncle, had actually brought the Holy Grail to Glastonbury at the beginning of the age of Pisces, preparing because Glastonbury was going to hold the new age of Aquarius. So now, basically, the New Jerusalem is conjunct with its Glastonbury and Shaftesbury. So we're holding not just the heart chakra of the earth, but the moving third eye chakra. So Shaftesbury, so you might remember Shaftesbury from the Hovis advert.
Yes,
I yeah, do. That yeah. tiny little place. Yeah. Shaftesbury is part of the Glastonbury legends. There's beautiful, so if you look at all the lands, we're not just talking Shaftesbury, we're talking like Stonehenge, we're talking Avery, you know, these chakras expand. So when, and it's holding those beautiful energies of what we're bringing the new age, this new age in. So if you get called to Glastonbury or Shaftesbury or those areas and you're working with these new energies. And then we have the crown chakra of the earth, which is Mount Kailash, which is the holy mountain in the Himalayas. And it's really sacred to the Bon shamans, to all the religions, really, to the Buddhists, to the Hindus. And I got called there. That was probably my most challenging sacred journey ever, because I had to leave my family, and I love my family, and I'd had to travel alone. And you have to do a pilgrim around the mountain, and I had I was really poorly, to be honest. I was vegan at the time. I didn't eat anything. I got horrific altitude sickness, but my goodness, I learned.
I was called to Rishikesh last year.
Where is Rishikesh?
Up in the Himalayas in India.
India, yeah.
And it was, I was going on retreat for a Kundalini awakening, and I had announced to my audience that I was releasing a new book, and I was doing a pre-order for the 21st of December, which was the third anniversary of my first book, which was published on the 21st of December 2020, The Age of Aquarius. So you can't make that one up. But I hadn't finished writing it, and it wasn't coming together. And I realised I was writing two books within one book, and I had to go and separate them. So I'd booked to go on this Kundalini awakening in Rishikesh, and I got there and I had to write because it was the first 2 weeks of December. I told everybody that this book was coming out, and so I was writing till 7 o'clock in the morning, meditating for an hour, and then doing one little part of the retreat, and then going back to writing, then going and doing another little part of the retreat, and then going back to writing, then doing another little part. And I kind of thought, at the time, oh my God, I've wasted this money going on retreat because I haven't done retreat. No, I was there to write a book and download it and to sort it out. And it's like, yeah, thank you, Rishikesh. And as I've heard a lot of people call Rishikesh the heart chakra. So, there seems to be some discrepancies between the different chakras of the world.
So every land will have its own chakra system. So Glastonbury has its own zodiac alone. People would say that Hawaii was a heart chakra. It's part of a chakra system. It's not. If you read Robert Coombe's book, he has mapped it out. It's really, really mapped out. It's not something that's just pulled out of the ether. It really shows exactly how these chakras are. And the reason why I know it is because I knew how I was called to them and how that happened. So it really added up with what he was writing. Now, all of the sites are connected.
So when did you read that book?
So I didn't get that book. So I had my first big calling. I've been going to Glastonbury and I first broke into Glastonbury Festival in 2000. but going to, as soon as my daughter was born 18 years ago, we were called, we had to start taking her to the town. And I was also working in death then. I was becoming a bit of my own personal shamanic initiation, I suppose, was you have to begin with death. Yes. And I was training in Chalice Well. And that was happening probably, she was born in 2010. So I was already working with those lands without realizing it. But my major call happened in 2015. And that was when magical things happened. It's like I had to go to Uluru, I had to go to Peru, I had to go to Mount Shasta. I didn't know what they were. I just knew I had to go. I also had to go to the Yukon River in Alaska and Mount Denali. I mean, all of these stories, honestly, they are pretty bonkers. But when you read them, they each have their own inner journey, both emotionally, physically, and energetically.
And these are in which book?
That's in the second one, yeah.
Earth Chakra Shaman.
Yeah.
So...
And from those, so for instance, Glastonbury, if you're going to work with Glastonbury, if you're feeling called, then Glastonbury is connected to Berlin and to Barcelona. So the heart chakra actually is fully activated when people are moving the energies between Berlin, which is a structural center. Think about if you removed all the buildings from Berlin, honestly, you can feel the structural energy. It's quite phenomenal when you can feel the energies coming out of a land beyond what we have created as humans. And when you go to Barcelona, the Barcelona energy is pure creativity. And then we have the inspirational center, which is Glastonbury. They can't work independently. If you've got too much structure, we end up with what we've been, what we saw.
Yep.
If you've got too much creativity, you don't have a structure for that flow. So everything has to be working in unison. So anyone can say anything's any places, whatever. If you go work with it, whatever it means to you, that's all that matters, as long as you're going with the intentions. But if you want to come into really understanding how these sites work together energetically, then go check out Robert Coombe's book, because I'm still dumbfounded by it.
It's a fascinating subject, this. I mean, I know that where I live is on some incredibly powerful ley lines. The minute I came in to look at a very, very ugly 1970s bungalow with a concrete, horrible roof, I mean, really, really, really horrible, ugly bungalow, my ex-husband and I have been looking for a house, in this area for over 10 years. And he looked at it and went, oh, God. And he went to get straight back in the car to drive out. I fell on the floor and cried. And he said, what are you doing? I went, I'm home. I'm home. And he went, don't be so stupid, it's ugly, we're not buying that. And I went, and I just cried, I wept, because I could just feel the energy from the ground. And I knew that I was meant to be here, that I was meant to be a custodian. I don't know how long I'm meant to be the custodian of this place, but I knew that I was the custodian. And, you know, we're all drawn to wherever we need to be drawn. Once you open up your energy and you find your flow, and that's what it's all about, the flowing and the going with the flow, and you know, finding your inspiration and your calling and your home. And that doesn't mean your home as in where you live, but it's just your home. And it might be your home for a day, an hour, a lifetime. It doesn't matter. You just have to find that flow to where you need to go.
And trust it.
And trust the process. That's the most important thing. Just trust the process. Oh, Louise, that has been such a lovely conversation.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming on the show today. I feel very, very relaxed and chilled now. Do you?
Yeah. Well, your lands are pretty sacred. So, and surrounded by all these trees. And you said yes. And that's what it's about. You have to say yes to your call. And even though it doesn't make sense to anyone else around you, because it's not logical.
Yeah.
If your heart is singing and the earth is calling, you have to go.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Philly, for all your truth and everything you speak about and saying yes, even though it's been difficult.
Oh, thank you for coming on. Mm. We will put your books and everything in the show notes. Should we go and have a cup of herbal tea?
Yes, that was the best
herbal
tea.
From my land. Thank you, lovely people. And we'll see you next week on The Wellness Way. Goodbye.